Maharaj has taught us to invoke the mercy of Bhagavatam before reading Bhagavatam, just like we say Narayana Namaskritya, but Guru Maharaj has given us a longer version. So, if I may, I'd like to recite this with all of you. Narayanam Namaskritya, Naram Cheiva Narottamam, Devim Saraswatim Vyasam, Tato Jayam Udiraye, Vede Ramayane Chaiva, Purane Bharate Tatha, Addo Khante Cha Madde Cha, Harihi Sarvatra Giyate, Mukam Karoti Vachalam, Pangum Langayate Girim, Yatkripatamaham Mande, Sri Gurun Dinatarine, Paramananda Madhavam. On the next sheet, there is a song. Paramananda He Madhava Padunda Luchi Makaranda Paramananda He Madhava Padunda Luchi Makaranda Se Makaranda Panakari Anande Bolo Hari Hari Se Makaranda Panakari Anande Bolo Hari Hari Harin Kaname Vanda Vela Parikari ve chakka dola Kana me vanda vela Parikari ve chakka dola Se chakka dolan kapaya re Mano mora hu nirantare Makaranda pana Marahu nirantare Mano mo nirantare rahu Ha Krishna boli ji ho jau Tare rahu Krishna boli ji ho jao Ha Krishna boli jao ji ho mote uddhar radha davo Krishna boli jao ji ho mote uddhar radha davo Mote uddhara radha davo Mote uddhara radha davo
Mote uddhara
radha davo Dharma pujito kaitavo atra parama nirman charanam satam Vedyam Vastavam Matra Vastu Sivadam Tapo Trayon Mulanam Srimad Mahamuni Krite Kimma Parer Ishvaraha Sadhyo Hetya Vidyuktate Astra Pithvi Susru Shubhi Sakshanat Nigama Kalpataru Dalitam Bhajam Sukamukat Amrita Drava Samyutam Pibata Bhagavatam Ratamalayam Mohuraho Ratika Bhuvi Bhavukaha Anartho Pashamam Sakshat Bhakti Yogam Adokshade Lokasya Janato Vidvam Chakre Sakvata Sanghitam Yasyam vai sruyamanayam krishne parama purushe bhaktir utpatate pumsa soka moha vayapaha Srimad bhagavatam puranam amalam yat vaishnavanam priyam yasmin paramahamsyam ekam amalam jnanam param giyate tatra jnana vairagya bhakti saitam naishkarivam avishkritam tatrinman supathan vicharana paro bhaktya vimuchyennaraha artho ayam brahma sutranam bharatartha vinirnaya gayatri bhasha ruposo veda artha paribrahmata sarva vede itihasanam saram saram samudritam sarva vedanta saram hi srimad bhagavatam nishyate tat samita trittasya nanyatra jatati kvachi krishna bhakti rasa swaru sri bhagavata krishna bhakti rasa swaru sri bhagavata tase veda shatra hoite paramama Hare 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 Rama Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, invocation. Second canto, chapter 1, the first step in God realization. Invocation again. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om.
Om.
Oh my Lord. Namaha.
Namaha.
My respectful obeisances unto you.
My respectful obeisances unto you.
Bhagavate,
Bhagavate,
unto the personality of Godhead,
unto the personality of Godhead,
Vasudevaya,
Vasudevaya,
unto Lord Krishna,
unto Lord Krishna,
the son of Vasudev,
the son of Vasudev.
Translation. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Oh my Lord, the all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Please respond. O my Lord.
O my Lord.
The all-pervading personality of Godhead.
The all-pervading personality of Godhead.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
Purport. Vasudevaya means to Krishna, the son of Vasudev. Since by chanting the name of Krishna, Vasudev, one can achieve all the good results of charity, austerity and penances, it is to be understood that by the chanting of this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, the author or the speaker or any one of the readers of Srimad Bhagavatam is offering respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Krishna, the reservoir of all pleasure. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the principles of creation are described, and thus the first canto may be called creation. Similarly, in the second canto, the post-creation cosmic manifestation is described. The different planetary systems are described in the second canto as different parts of the universal body of the Lord. For this reason, the second canto may be called the cosmic manifestation. There are 10 chapters in the second canto. And in these 10 chapters, the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam and the different symptoms of this purpose are narrated. The first chapter describes the glories of chanting. And it hints at the process by which the neophyte devotees may perform meditation on the universal form of the Lord. In the first verse, Sukadeva Goswami replies to the questions of Maharaj Parikshit, who asked him about one's duty at the time of death. Maharaj Parikshit, who asked him about one's duty, Maharaj Parikshit was glad to receive Sukadeva Goswami, and he was proud of being a descendant of Arjuna, the intimate friend of Krishna. Personally, he was very humble and meek, but he expressed his gladness that Lord Krishna was very kind to his grandfathers, the sons of Pandu, especially his own grandfather Arjuna. And because Lord Krishna was always pleased with Maharaj Parikshit's family, at the verge of Maharaj Parikshit's death, Sukadeva Goswami was sent to help him in the process of self-realization. Maharaj Parikshit was a devotee of Lord Krishna from his childhood. So he had natural affection for Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami could understand his devotion. Therefore, he welcomed the questions about the king's duty. Because the king hinted that worship of Lord Krishna is the ultimate function of every living entity, Sukadeva Goswami welcomed the suggestion and said, "Because you have raised questions about Krishna, your question is most glorious." The translation of the first verse is as follows. Quite long, huh? We'll read text one as well. Please respond. Sri Suka Uvacha.
Sri Suka Uvacha.
Variyan Eshate Prashna.
Variyan Eshate Prashna.
Krito Loka Hitam Nripa.
Krito Loka Hitam Nripa.
Atmavit Samata Pungtam.
Atmavit Samata Pungtam.
Srotavyada. Srotavyadishu Yaparaha.
Srotavyadishu Yaparaha.
Sri Suka Uvacha.
Sri Suka Uvacha.
Varyan Eshate Prashna.
Varyan Eshate Prashna.
Krito Loka Hitam Nripa.
Krito Loka Hitam Nripa.
Atmavit Samataha Pungta.
Atmavit Samataha Pungta.
Srotavyadishu Yaparaha.
Srotavyadishu Yaparaha.
Prabhu.
Sri Suka Uvacha. Goswami said, Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear king,
Your question is glorious because it is very beneficial to all kinds of people. The answer to this question is a prime subject matter for hearing, and it is approved by all transcendentalists. Okay, please respond. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said,
Sri Sukadeva Goswami said,
My dear King, your question is glorious because it is very beneficial to all kinds of people. The answer to this question is a prime subject matter for hearing. And it is approved by all transcendentalists. Purport. Even the very question is so nice that it is the best subject matter for hearing. Simply by such questioning and hearing, one can achieve the highest perfectional stage of life. Because Lord Krishna is the original Supreme Person, any question about Him is original and perfect. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that the highest perfection of life is to achieve the transcendental loving service of Krishna. Because questions and answers about Krishna elevate one to that transcendental position, the questions of Maharaj Parikshit about Krishna philosophy are greatly glorified. Maharaj Parikshit wanted to absorb his mind completely in Krishna, and such absorption can be effected simply by hearing about the uncommon activities of Krishna. For instance, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that simply by understanding the transcendental nature of Lord Krishna's appearance, disappearance and activities, one can immediately return home, back to Godhead, and never come back to this miserable condition of material existence. It is very auspicious, therefore, to hear always about Krishna. So Maharaj Parikshit requested Sukadeva Goswami to narrate the activities of Krishna so that he could engage his mind in Krishna. The activities of Krishna are non-different from Krishna himself. As long as one is engaged in hearing such transcendental activities of Krishna, he remains aloof from the conditional life of material existence. The topics of Lord Krishna are so auspicious that they purify the speaker, the hearer and the inquirer. They are compared to the Ganges waters which flow from the toe of Lord Krishna. Wherever the Ganges waters go, they purify the land and the person who bathes in them. Similarly, Krishna Katha, or the topics of Krishna, are so pure that wherever they are spoken, the place, the hearer, the inquirer, the speaker and all concerned become purified.
For Gita classes and Srimad Bhagavatam classes, we start by reciting or we start with this invocation, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So here we see it in the Bhagavatam. It appears in chapter 1, just before text 1. why do we say this Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya? Because Prabhupada says in his purport, one can achieve the good results of charity, austerity and penances. So before we speak Krishna Katha, we usually invoke for Krishna's mercy. Why? Because, for example, Bhagavatam or even Bhagavad Gita, they are non-different from Krishna. I've said this, Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarva Shraya Prati Shloke Prati Akshare Nana Arthakaya. Krishna Tulya Bhagavata. Krishna and Bhagavata, non-different. So Krishna, Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, they are non-different. Not different means what you see, what Bhagavatam, this is Krishna. This is actually Krishna, but we do not have the eyes to see. This is not different from Krishna. So we are trying to read about Krishna, to hear about Krishna, to speak about Krishna, to inquire about Krishna. That's the purpose of this Sangha. But we have to understand that with that we are trying to speak on, read about or hear about Krishna. Meaning we are trying to understand, speak about or hear about someone who is unlimited. Vibhu Sarva Shraya, just like Krishna is unlimited, so is Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is unlimited. So, Prati Shloke, Prati Akshare, what to speak of every shloka? Even every letter, every syllable, every syllable in every verse has Nana Artha Kaya, so many meanings, Nana Artha, so many meanings are there. So, this Bhagavatam, you know, is unlimited. Because Krishna is unlimited, so Bhagavatam is unlimited. So, we are here without puny head, puny intelligence, we are trying to understand Krishna. Can we understand Krishna? We are not able to understand Krishna, because Krishna says in the Gita, both in 1154, 1855, he says, only how can we understand Krishna? How can we understand Krishna? We cannot understand Krishna with our intelligence. We cannot understand Krishna by listening to so many pravachans. The only way we can understand Krishna is if He wants to reveal Himself to us. So, and He says, how one can understand Krishna? Only, He says, Bhaktya Mama Vijanati. Only by Bhakti you can understand Me. So, if Krishna and Bhagavatam are non-different, then how can we understand Bhagavatam? We can only understand Bhagavatam if we have Bhakti. Without Bhakti, there is no question of trying to understand Bhagavatam. Why? Because Bhagavatam, we are trying to understand Krishna. We may understand Sanskrit, right? We may understand Sanskrit, but does that mean, you know, by looking through these Sanskrit verses, we will be able to understand what Krishna is trying to say? No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Sorry, definitely not. It is not. You cannot, because we may be a Sanskrit scholar. We may have I think 12 years or whatever. You know, studying Sanskrit for 12 years and we become so expert. But we will not be able to understand what Krishna is. We may be able to read, we may be able to give meanings, but Nana Arthakaya, so many meanings are there. And do you actually know what Krishna is trying to say? Without Bhakti, we will never be able to understand what Krishna is trying to say. No Bhakti, no gain. Sorry. No? Then, also, Lord Shiva also said, you know, Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grahyam Na Buddhya Na Chatikaya. You know, besides intelligence, Na Buddhya. That means, by your intelligence, you cannot understand Bhagavatam. Why? Because Bhagavatam and Krishna are non-different. So again, you know, you are trying to understand Krishna with your intelligence, we are not able to understand Krishna. He says, Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grahyam. Only by Bhakti will we be able to understand Bhagavatam. Right? And he says, even Na Buddhya Na Cha Tikaya. Tikaya means, Tika means commentaries. So many commentaries have been written on Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, starting from Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami has written commentary. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, his is the best commentary. Then Jiva Goswami has written commentaries. Then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has written commentaries. Baladev Vidyabhushana has written commentaries. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has written commentaries. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he has also written a commentary. So, but Lord Shiva says, even if we take help of the commentary, we will not be able to understand Krishna. Why? Because Krishna can only be understood by Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grahyam. Only by Bhakti we will be able to understand. So, you know, so many people we have given books to so many people. Yes, by reading these books, they become enthused, encouraged, or they see something, but they have to come and hear from someone who has realized. Only then would they be able to understand. Otherwise, why are we all here? We can be at home. We can be at home reading these books. Correct? So, besides studying, when we are at home, we have to study these books. The books are there meant for studying. But at the same time, we have to come and hear from someone who has realized what is being presented in these books. And we can only have that by hearing from someone who has realized it. Okay, so coming back, so why do we invoke? So we are invoking Krishna's mercy. Om Namo Bhagavate, we are paying obeisances to Lord Krishna. So that, oh Krishna, you know, I will not be able to. I've got such a puny mind. I'm trying to go and read Bhagavatam. I'm trying to understand you. I'm not going to be able to do so. So you please help me. Please let me read. You know, my Guru Maharaj has told me, has instructed me to study Bhagavatam every day. Has told me to hear Bhagavatam. Has told me. So now I'm speaking or I'm trying to hear Bhagavatam. So let me do this for your pleasure. Let me do this for your pleasure, for Guru's pleasure, for Mahaprabhu's pleasure, for Krishna's pleasure. So let us. So we are invoking this invocation. We are saying this invocation to beg mercy, so that we'll speak for their pleasure, not for my false ego. You know, there is this tendency. Yes, don't you know I'm speaking? Don't you know I'm speaking? But try. We have to remind. No, at such low consciousness, no, we can. Beg for Krishna's mercy. No, please. Let me read for Gurudev's pleasure. Let me read for Mahaprabhu's pleasure. Let me read for Rukmini Dwarkadi's pleasure. Let me read for Jagannath Baladev Subhadra's pleasure. Not for my pleasure. Not for anyone. No one else's pleasure. But for their pleasure. So we want to present. Presenting, speaking, hearing. Let's do it for their pleasure. That is why we do this invocation. So it is actually beneficial for us to be attentive when we do this invocation, any invocation for that matter. You know, before when the speaker we say Om Agnana Timiranda says, so these are also invocations. So these are invocations begging for their mercy. So you know, when we do it all the time, it becomes like a, what's the word? It becomes like a routine. Yeah, it becomes routine. So it's like, You know, our, yes, we are, but our minds may be elsewhere. You get what I mean? So, no point. We must understand. So, you know, the whole purpose, you know, Sukadeva Goswami, the first time he opened his mouth, this is the first time he opened his mouth upon being questioned by Parikshit Maharaj. He opened his mouth by invoking Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, you see, the mood is we have to invoke for the Lord's mercy before we can speak. You know, What can I do? Anu, what can I do? Anu trying to understand Vibhu. Areva, can you do that? You know, Anu, the smallest particle, we are trying to understand the unlimited. Possible? I don't think so. Cannot, right? How? So only if he wants us to understand something about him, we may be able to understand. So that is why it is so important that we have to, friends can advise us that we have to pay attention, you know, when someone is doing the invocation, you know, pay attention to it, you know, beg, or even let's say we spaced out, okay, beg, you know, please, let me be here to hear Krishna Katha for your pleasure, not for anything else. I'm here to hear Krishna Katha for the Lord's pleasure. This is my offering to them. While we are seated here, my offering is to speak about Krishna, your offering is to hear about Krishna. That's your offering to their lordship today for the next 40 minutes or so. So that must be ingrained in us. Similarly, you know, every time, you know, when we sing, whether it's Sri Guru, Charana, Padma, so many songs are there. But the tendency in most of us is after some time, we are so familiar with the tune and the word. And we can sing it, you know, we know it by heart. But the problem is, we do not know what it means. Again, you know, it's not good. It is good because it is good, but wouldn't it be better if we are also trying to concentrate as we sing what they mean? So it is very important that we actually exercise our consciousness. This movement is called International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we have to be conscious of Krishna all the time. So, you know, the general tendency for us is we become lazy. Lazy in the sense that, you know, yes, someone else is singing, yeah, or even if I am singing, I don't have to pay attention to the meaning. You know, one simple way, you know, all of us may be shy. Oh, I've been in the movement for X number of years. What if I hold the songbook and sing, everybody sing, oh, this guy's been here for so long, he still doesn't know the verses. Ayo! No, that need not be the case. Instead, what we could be doing is, when the leader is singing the verse, we can be concentrating on the translation. Then when he sings, then we'll be absorbed in the meaning of what he's singing. Now, Sri Guru Chan. It is all right, you know, in the beginning where we, you know, for initially for someone to sing the whole thing and then to read the translation, but perhaps we could go one step further whereby when someone is singing, we have our songbook with us and look at the translation while that person is singing. That will give us even more pleasure. Definitely. Because, you know, my only attachment is to hear. You know, my only wish is to have my consciousness purified by Gurudev's words, by hearing Gurudev. I know when I hear Gurudev, my consciousness will be purified. Right? So, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Titete Koriya Akya. So, Guru Mukha, what the words emanating from his lotus mouth. Right? So, this is what we want. So, whether it's Narsingha praise, Samsara Dava praise, Samsara, every day we are singing. Why? When someone else is singing, we look at the translation. No, it is. Someone told me, and I appreciated this very much. So, I'm sharing this so that, I mean, I'm sure many of you are already doing it, but if some or one is not doing, perhaps I'm just what I'm trying to say is it will bring great benefit. That's what I'm trying to say. So this is about invocation. So we invoke the mercy of Krishna before we speak or do any activity for that matter, whether it's book distribution, whatever. We invoke Krishna's mercy first. So this is the example Sukadeva Goswami is trying to say. You know, this is what is. That's why he invokes. And most of the time, when someone is asked to speak about Krishna, he usually recites some prayers glorifying the spiritual master, the parampara, glorifying the subject matter before he speaks about it, because he wants to get the mercy of Krishna, mercy of the person who has read it. For example, Srila Prabhupada, another person whom we want to invoke the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. He has given us his purport. Now we are begging him, no, let me understand your purport. Your purport, we always say, no, this are, you know, wonderful purport. But we, you know, hopefully we can understand even a little bit of it. By his mercy, we may be able to do it. So we have to beg for his mercy. So there's a lot of consciousness in play. You know, it is not like, you know, externally we are doing so many things, but our consciousness is not there. Then what's the point? You know, this is International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If you, to become a certified member of this society, you know, you have to become the always Krishna conscious. But are we a certified member of this society? Are we? So, certified member of this society, if you want to get that credential so that at the back of your name you can write, certified Krishna conscious person, no, see, whatever. So if you want that title, then we have to be always practicing how to be conscious of Krishna rather than being lazy about it, because externally all looks fine and dandy. You know, it looks, you know, for example, let's say we come and pay obeisances. Then, you know, you pay obeisances and then quickly go and sit. You haven't even taken darshan of the deities. We have come not to look at them. We have come to be seen by them. And we are thinking, we are the seers. We are not the seers. We have come to be seen by them, and we come and we sit down. Then so someone told me, what are you doing? Then, you know, late developer, still may not have developed, still spaced out, but I appreciate, but this I'm sharing, you know. So let us try to be conscious of what we are doing. So that then otherwise the mind becomes lazy. You know, not saying thinking of the activity we are externally we may be doing. Externally everything looks Krishna conscious from the eye of someone, but but we ask ourselves, we may not be Krishna conscious, but am I trying to be Krishna conscious at that point in time? Then after that, Srila Prabhupada gives some synopsis of what the second canto is about, which is a bit cheem for me. He talks about cosmic manifestation, post-creation cosmic manifestation. I'm alluding that. Okay, then after that, he says, the first chapter talks about glories of chanting. So these are all synopsis. But later on he says, Sukadeva Goswami is going to reply to Maharaj Parikshit, who asked him about two questions. So most of us have been here almost every week, so we know what the questions are. What are the questions? The questions are two questions. What is that? One is, what is my duty? Or what is a person's duty in general? And second, what is a person's duty at the time of death? A person who is about to die, what is his duty? These are the two questions, right? And these were the two questions that he asked, not only to Sukadeva. He also asked these same two questions to the sages who had come to witness his disappearance. When everyone, the whole world, found out, hey, guess what? Guess who's leaving the material world? Parikshit Maharaj is leaving. So all the sages come, right? And then he sees all of them Jamuna, right? Jamuna. So he asked them, what is my duty? What is my duty? What is my duty? He asked everyone, right? Then Prabhupada mentioned in his purport to text 24 of the previous chapter in 19, he said, you know, there appears to be no unanimous answer among the sages who were gathered there. He says that it appears that there was no unanimous answer. You know, Parikshit Maharaj is already a Krishna conscious person, mind you, right? Then he's asking, you know, hey, what should I do? This is a Krishna conscious person, already from birth, Krishna conscious, one who has seen Krishna, he's known as Vishnu Ratha, and he's asking, hey, what should I do? What should I do? I'm going to die, I'm going to leave my body, what should I do? Then he says, but this Krishna conscious person, why is asking? Prabhupada says, because he has conviction, now he wants to have unanimous. That means everyone must agree, yes, this is what is to be done. You follow what I'm saying? He wants that firm, he has conviction and he wants firm. Everyone must say, yes, this is it. But unfortunately, when he asked all the munis, nana muni karo nana mata. So, nana muni, so many munis are there, all give different opinions. You know? All give different opinions. Right? Then at that time, who came? Who came? Sukadeva Goswami came. Right? Sukadeva Goswami came. And he posed the same question to him. Right? And he gave the answer and everyone, yes, I agree. All agree. No more opinion. That's the one. Right? So, in particular, besides these two questions, Parikshit asked one other question. This is in 38. And he says, in particular, what should a man hear, chant, remember, and worship? So this is a specific question in 38, right? In 37, he asked the two general questions, and in 38, he asked, what should a man hear, chant, remember, and worship? That means he's already dovetailing the question towards the worship of Krishna. Then this is why, you know, in the purport, if you look at the purport, Prabhupada says, because the king hinted that worship of Lord Krishna is the ultimate function of every living entity. So where did he hint? Where did he hint that? He hinted here. Sukadeva Goswami welcomed this suggestion and said, because you have raised questions about Krishna, your question is most glorious. You follow? Okay. also he asked, besides this he asked, so what should one do and what are the do's and what are the don'ts? Right? These are the things he asked. So let's go on to the next verse now. So purport of the next verse. I feel like Bhagavan now. So Sukadev Goswami said, my dear king, your question is glorious because it is very beneficial to all kinds of people. The answer to this question is the prime subject matter for hearing and it is approved by all transcendentalists. So Sukadev Goswami's questions are, what should men do? What is our duty? Right? Or not only his, but men in general. So it benefits everyone, not only Satorang, but everyone. Right? And he also says that what should a person who is on the verge of dying, what is his duty? Right? These are the two questions. But what are our questions? What are our questions? 99%, oh come on, let's face it, in my case, 100% of the time, what am I asking about? You know? How many times are we conscious about these questions? You know, as conditioned souls, we have so many questions, usually about economic development, finding an opposite sex, making money, putting our children through school, getting your children married, I want to get married, how to have children. So, no, all these are the questions that goes on in our head. And sometimes we have the cheek to ask Sadhu who comes these questions. It's a joke. Sadhus don't want to know. Sadhus are there to try and help you get out of this material world. And we go there, no, I've got problem with my business. And of course, you know, he will say, okay, come and hear Bhagavatam. That's what he will say. So that you become attached to Bhagavatam. His answers, this is panacea. Same pill for all illnesses. Come and hear Bhagavatam. That will be his answer. Of course, we can get cheated. Oh, you know, he fed on your head and okay. Then say, oh great, then you give him some dakshina, great. Very good. So, no, we get cheated. Sukadev Goswami in the second and third verses, he talks about such conditioned souls. You know, as conditioned souls, what we are more inclined to do. This is a bit heavy. He says, you know, those persons who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of ultimate truth, have many subject matters for hearing in human society. That I just discussed. The next verse, open your ears. He says, the lifetime of such envious householders is passed at night, either in sleeping or in sex indulgence, and in the daytime, either in making money or maintaining family members. Or, if someone who is very religious, he comes and says, hey, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Sex life and all that in Bhagavatam class. Hey, this sadhu will tell you the truth. This is unpalatable truth. Unpalatable truth about us. We spend our daytime, thinking about economic development, how I can maintain my house, my family, my children, my car, and all my paraphernalia, how to maintain them status quo or improve. That's what I do during the day. During my night, what do? I spend either sleeping or engaging in sex. That's what I do. So you see, sadhus words are so blunt. They come and cut you, you know. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, a real sadhu is like that. A real sadhu, whoever associates with a real sadhu, he will get benefited. How? Because, you know, we have so many evil desires. Evil desires, when I say evil, I'm not talking about Frankenstein. I'm talking about those evil desires like so many lusty desires. So I think Chandrasekhar Prabhu was speaking. You know, sometimes even within a day, you can get married a few times. Right? Or even 1 minute you can get married a few times. That, no, this is Chandrasekhar Prabhu's word. Right? No, Prabhu, I'm not making fun of him. I'm equally guilty. I'm not making fun of him. I'm just quoting that what he said is really true. That's all, that's what I'm saying. I'm not making fun of him. Please, don't laugh. So, Yes. So all this, then other evil desires. We are so envious. No, if someone we see, oh, Prabhu Ilangavan Prabhu has just come in, no, maybe 2 months. Oh, he's made so much advancement. Pabale Tahan, man, I'm, no, 20 years, no. How can he make so advancement? So I become so envious of him. So these are the evils. Not Frankenstein and, you know, the opposite of, you know, superheroes. They've got all these bad guys. No, we're not talking about those evil guys who want to take over the world. No, we're talking about the evil, wicked mind that we have that is getting us into all sorts of trouble. Right? So, yeah, what happens when you go to such sadhu? Then he is there with a chopping blade, you know. He's like, come, 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 come. Shing, he cut. Because when you are with such a sadhu, unknowingly, you know, all these dirty desires in your heart will be revealed to him. Confession, you know. It's not like the Friday, the church confession where, you know, behind closed doors. No, you come and openly tell him, guess what, I've got all these problems, you know. Then you say, ah, okay. Then you'll give him medicine. You follow what I'm saying? That real sadhu is like that. He is there. This is what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said, not me. He said, no, he's waiting like a chopper. You know, he's got a chopping board and he's waiting for all the lambs to come. Come, come, ping, go, next one. Come, come, ping, go. So, no, like that. So, cutting what? So, you know, what is that chopper? His tongue. His tongue is so sharp that it will, it pierces us. You know, suddenly you get a jolt. No, what am I doing? But even then, it may be short-lived, never mind. But the more you associate with such a person, you are going to change. You know, in one of the stories of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Guru Maharaj is Gaura Kishwardas Babaji Maharaj. Okay. Gaura Kishwardas Babaji Maharaj, he actually told one person. He told one person who was a little sincere in hearing him. He said, you know, if ever you feel like, you know, having sex with someone, you come to me. You come to me. He said that. But unfortunately, you know, that person had sex with a widow. With a widow. So then when he heard, he felt so terrible. And said, I told him, he just needs to come to me because he has the medicine, you know. You know, all these dirty desires we have, he has got the medicine to cure us. Just him by speaking to us, slowly our mind will be going away from all this subject matter. Just by going and hearing him. That is the power of such sadhus. So that is real. So sadhu means that kind of person whom you are just automatically like a canary bird, you know, everything comes out from your mouth, all your dirty stuff. No, when I look at forget his name. Musa Prabhu, I'm so envious of him. Or when I look at Shruta Prabhu, I'm so envious of, I just want to tell everything. I want to be subject to whatever punishment you're going to give me. You become so willing. That's what happens when you're in front of a sadhu. That can happen. Huh? Yes. So, about this heavy words. So, coming back, simply by such questioning and hearing, one can achieve the highest perfection of life. Hearing about what? Hearing about Krishna. See, Parikshit Maharaj wanted to be absorbed in Krishna. In order to be absorbed in Krishna means what? Always be remembering, always in thoughts of Krishna. And how can he do that? You know, we may be doing so many services, right? We may be doing so many, but if we are not Krishna conscious, or thinking about Krishna, or his pastimes, or his activities, we have not come to the level where, you know, we see the name of Krishna and Krishna in non-different limits. When we chant, we are able to see all the leelas of Krishna, all the forms of Krishna, or your Ishtadeva appearing in front of you. If we are not at that level, we may not be able to maintain that. After some time, we get sick of what we are doing. You know, it becomes, because everything is only external. That is why, you know, if you look at Bhagavatam, over and over and over again, the Prachetas, everyone, what are they praying for? They are praying for to be in the association of sadhus who will speak Krishna Katha, so that they will be always thinking about Krishna. Right? Because, in order to be absorbed in Krishna, we have to hear first. When the more we hear about Krishna, then we'll be, let's say we have 100% of our 24 hours, as we increase the amount of hearing and studying of Bhagavatam, as you know, when that actually, that means more and more stories and sattvas about Krishna coming into our head, that means less and less about our children, our wife, and all our material paraphernalia at home. Right? So when this happens, then automatically you feel like speaking more about Krishna. Right? When you see people, oh, you just have to talk about Krishna. Right? It becomes like automatic, just like when you know so much about your boss, so many nice things about your boss, hey, you know, this boss, it becomes natural, isn't it? So, you know, when we know so many glories, so many nice things about the personality of Godhead, then we just want to, hey, do you know, I just read something, oh, solid, man. It just comes like automatic. We just want to share it with others. So that, you know, it slowly comes. So, from this hearing and from this speaking, that means, what can we speak? We can only speak what they've heard. So, Guru Maharaj says, Kirtanam is actually Shravanam. Because what Kirtanam can you do? You do the Kirtan of what you have heard, not anything else. We speak what we have heard, not anything else. So, by doing these activities, what will happen? It will help us remember Krishna. Doesn't it? So that's what he wants to do. Huh? He wants to absorb his mind completely. By hearing about the uncommon activities of Krishna. And it is, and Prabhupada quotes the verse from, I think this is 4.11, what's the verse? For 9. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatataha. So it says, that person who knows my janma and karma, what janma karma divyam? Transcendental birth and activities. That person who knows. No means, yeah, I know Krishna born midnight. So not this only. He says in tattva, knowing in truth, factually. Right? For that person, that means you must know in truth, know Krishna's birth and Krishna's activities in truth. They are transcendental. Again, like I said, we cannot understand his activities, can we? Why? We are Anu, he is Vibhu. How can we understand his activities? Even his birth we cannot understand. You know what? Not through semen. No coming transfer. Very difficult. Right? Difficult to understand. But by Guru's mercy, by Krishna's mercy, maybe we'll be able to understand. It's not easy to understand. Right? So, and for that person, what happens? He will not be subject to repeated birth and death. Instead, where does he go? He goes to the abode of Krishna. But that carrot, you know, devotees are not interested in going back to Godhead. You know, that's like a carrot Prabhupada put in front of us. Right? Devotees, you know, we should aspire, I don't care where you go, if you want, wherever I go. No, it's not, then otherwise, it's like we are going after a carrot. Huh? Instead, it should be, when we see what the pure devotees aspire for, you know, mana, doesn't matter wherever you send me to hell also, no problem. All I want is to be able to remember you, able to associate with your devotees who are always singing your glories. That's all they want. They don't care where they go. You understand? That for them, what is most of paramount importance is, what will make Krishna happy? If Krishna will be happy if I burn into the fire, I will do that because Krishna will be happy if I were to do that. Wow, sounds like, oh, is this religion or what? But this whole thing is, Krishna is the only enjoyer and we are his servants. And our only duty is to make him happy. And by making him happy, we will derive happiness. That's our constitutional position. So, we can aspire when we the more and more we read about such devotees, when we read about this, some of these prayers that devotees have, then we think, we go, sometimes it may be sentimental, but we go all gaga, you know, especially one verse, aham hare tvam, how does it go? Aham hare tavapadaikamulam dasana daso bhavita sibuyaha. They are saying, when will that day come when I'll be so attached to those devotees who have no other shelter? They don't know anything other than only one, Eka. What is that? The lotus feet. Their only shelter is the lotus feet of the Lord. When you hear, oh, you know, well, will I ever, no, I'm, 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 I know I'm not there, but wow, that's so nice, you know. You become so inspired. Oh, such devotees exist. Wow. And here we are wanting so many things from Krishna. Or rather, so many things for us to enjoy. It is very auspicious, therefore, to hear always about Krishna. So Maharaj Parikshit requested Sukadev Goswami to narrate the activities of Krishna so that he could engage his mind in Krishna. The activities of Krishna are non-different from Krishna himself. So anything related to Krishna and Krishna himself, non-different. For example, Pushpa Gopal and this body and his kurta and his neck beat, everything are different. On the other hand, Krishna, his neck beat, oh, he doesn't wear, you know, oh, his Kaustubha jewel, his clothes, his paraphernalia, his name, his form, all non-different. Unfathomable. Cannot even understand. You know, because we have not even seen such things in the material world. Have we? Do we experience, you know, how? How can a name, what? His Krishna, the name, and Krishna is the same. This photo and Krishna the same. Oh, Susan, and very difficult. Difficult to understand. Difficult. But they are non-different. But we haven't got the eyes to see it yet, or the ability to understand. Like I said, Anu trying to understand Vibhu. How can, unless we get the mercy through the spiritual master, through the agency of the spiritual master. The topics of Lord Krishna are so auspicious that they purify the speaker. Okay, this talking about purity, purification of the speaker, the hearer, the inquirer. Maybe I'll not go into that. I want to discuss something that I have found nice for some time, you know. It's a discussion, it's about the glory of Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavatam. When Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, in Chaitanya Leela, Mahaprabhu went to see Ramananda Roy and they had a discussion in the Godavari River. Am I right? The Godavari River? Some river. Anyone? What river? Godavari River. Okay. So there, some things came up regarding this hearing. And Prabhupada summarized it in the introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's on page 29. I think all of you, even the big book, I think it should be on page 29. It's so nice. You know, when he was there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy, okay, you speak one verse from Shastra, from Vedic literature, about the goal of life. Right? Then he first he says, I'll just paraphrase, no time. No, he says, Varnashram. That means you engage in whatever, you remain in whatever Varna and Ashram you are in, and by doing that, you will be able to realize God. So that's what he said. Mahaprabhu rejected that. Because maybe in Kali Yuga, maybe it was possible. Because even Vyasadeva's father, Parasara Muni, he has mentioned this, you know, in Shastra he has mentioned, so he quotes and says, that by doing Varnashram, I have not even come to Devi Varnashram, mind you. Then he says, nah. Go on, say something else. Then, I'm just being blunt here. You know, then he says, can you hear me? You can. Illicit response from the wrong person. Okay, then he suggested Devi Varnashram, where, and he quotes that verse, we always like to hear, always like to quote, whatever you do as an offering to me. Wow, that's us. That means we go to work, then some money, kasi Krishna la, you know, give Krishna. You know, whatever, you know, we get something, we give Krishna, we get something. One for you, ten for me. One for you, ten for me. Like that, you know. You know, Prabhupada said, you know, it's not what you give that matters, it's what you keep that matters. Can you get it? Huh? Right? So that's us, you see. So, yeah, Karosi, that verse, I think 9:27. So you remain in your occupational duties. Grihastha, Grihastha, then Vanaprasthi, Vanaprasthi, then if you are Brahmachari, Brahmachari, no, you remain. But you know, you do your, whatever your tendency is and your abilities, you do, and then the result you give to Krishna. So that's what many of us are trying to do, but that was rejected. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected that. He says, this is still, because we are still we have our independence, we want to do what we want to do. Then, for Krishna, I'll do something. Yes, at the starting phase, maybe. Then he rejected, then he said, proposal number three now. Proposal three is, he said, give up your occupational duty. That means, tyaga, dharma tyaga. That means, give up your occupational duty. And he quotes the famous verse, sarva dharmam prajyajyamamekam sharanam raja. He quotes this. He says, give up everything. Give up everything. That means, give up and then just engage in pure devotional service. And what Mahaprabhu said, no, cannot. Surprise, surprise. Why Mahaprabhu say cannot? Because all of us started, every day doing nonsense activities, then suddenly, tomorrow I'm doing pure devotional service, like real man. So, he knows, not going to happen, Mike, not going to happen. You know, sorry. Right. So he says, no, say some more. Then he goes one step lower. He says, okay, then you cultivate knowledge by speculative method about the absolute truth. That's what Ramananda Roy said. And mix it with devotional service. I haven't really understood what this fully means, but I'm just paraphrasing it. So he said this. So that means mental speculation, you know, ascending process, trying to understand what the absolute truth is. I mean, this one all of us know will be rejected. Because there's, as long as some mental speculation involves, all of us know. So no mental. Then finally he said, okay, do pure devotional service without any tinge of mental speculation about the absolute truth. And he quotes one verse of Lord Brahma's prayer. Very nice prayer. Which it is from 10.14.3. With many devotees here have quoted that verse. Jnane prayasnamu pada udapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya vartam jnane prayaha stane sita shruti gatam tanuvan manobhir ye praya shojita jito pyastitai strilokyam jnane prayasnam. That means this prayasnam, like difficult, no, this difficult endeavor of jnana, of accumulating this knowledge. Udapasya, give up. Then those devotees who give up this difficult endeavor, so much endeavor, you know, what is, you know, trying to understand absolute truth, this speculative method of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those devotees who give up this method, and instead, they jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya vartam. Tane sitasuti gatam tanuvan manodhir. What they do? That means they remain in whatever occupational duties they are. That means coming back to Varnashram, right? We are coming, that means you remain. Brahmachari, if you are working, work, whatever. You remain. And but at the same time, these devotees will use their kaya, mana and vakya. Kaya, body, mana, the mind, and vakya, the word. They use this to do devotional service to Krishna, and at the same time, they lend their ears. This is the most important thing here that Srila Prabhupada is trying to highlight. They lend their ears. That means you remain, that means you accept, no, give up. I don't want to speculate about the supreme law. I don't know anything. I want to become greedy. These people are so greedy. Greedy for what? Greedy to hear from self-realized souls. About what? About the glories of Krishna and his devotees. That means, become greedy to hear Krishna Katha. You know, sometimes, you know, just to put on record, or not put on record, I mean just to clarify, what is Krishna Katha? We have heard Krishna Katha being spoken so many times. Here is, what is Krishna Katha? Krishna Katha, there are so many facets. It's not Krishna Katha in literal translation. We'll say, oh, stories about Krishna. But that's not all. Besides these uncommon activities of Krishna, there are many other facets of what Krishna Katha is all about. Krishna Katha includes stories about his pure devotees. Because his pure devotees, what type of stories will you be hearing about them? Everything they do will be in relation to Krishna, wouldn't it? So that's also Krishna Katha. Then at the same time another facet is when the sadhu is trying to, you know, I was telling you all these sharp words that he's letting go from his arrow piercing our heart. That's also Krishna Katha, because it will slap us, jolt us, wake us up. Hey, what am I doing? What am I doing? Is this the purpose of why I'm here? Why have I come here? Hari Hari Bipale Janam Gongainu. Hari Hari Bipale Janam Gongainu. Manushya Janam Paya Radha Krishna Na Bhajiya. Janiya Shuniya Vishakainu. Narsim Das Thakur Singh. What he says? No, I've wasted my human life. I've wasted my human life without worshipping Radha and Krishna. And in doing so, Janiya Visha. No. And in doing so, what have I done? I have knowingly drunken poison. These are the songs Vaishnava Acharyas write. Huh? These are the songs Vaishnava. No, when you hear, yes, that is me, isn't it? Huh? And and I've been hearing week in, week out, year in, year out, reading. Why isn't my attraction towards Radha and Krishna not coming about? Such an unfortunate person. Such an unfortunate person. So, when sadhu speaks all this, you know, we become awakened to these things. We become awakened. That is why, that is the purpose of sadhu sangha. We come for sadhu sangha, not we want to hear something nice and, oh Prabhu, wow, so many jokes, wow. Then, no, I felt quite bad. Once someone, Prabhu, wow, I liked your class when you said this. Then he said, oh, that was a joke. And I said, that's terrible. You know, of all things, that means, you know, that means it is terrible of me to crack that joke, because the hallmark seemed to be some joke that I made. But actually, we have come to here to try and see what can be heard that can change, that we can apply to our lives to change our lives. That's why we are coming to here, not for any other purpose. We are coming to here not because, oh, we look religious, don't we, all in white kurtas and saris and with this silak and woo! No, but that's not the purpose. We are coming not to look like a big group when onlookers come. Actually, it's a very individual thing. So we have come to hear what can I learn today that I can apply in my life? How can I change my life from hearing Krishna Katha today? So we should come in that mood, and we invoke for Krishna's mercy, Gurudev's mercy, and please let me go home. Let me come be attentive. Let me try and at least get something. All of us. I may not even have spoken one good thing in this whole class. But if all of us are trying, if you are sincerely praying, then Krishna will make sure, although I'm useless, make sure I speak something, because one sincere person is here. This is the impact of sincerity. Because a muda who is attached to all sorts of sinful activities, he is made to come and give class, and Krishna will speak through him for you, for that person who is sincere. That can happen. Yes. So this is why this hearing, Prabhupada said, you know, let me just read. The Rai, this is a proposal 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Proposal 5. The Rai then suggested sincere association of self-realized souls. That means one who has got no other business other than wanting to, surrendering to the will of Krishna, only wanting to propagate Krishna consciousness, only want to speak and hear about Krishna consciousness. His only business is to give pleasure to Krishna. So that's a self-realized soul. Huh? Suggested sincere association of self-realized souls and hearing submissively the transcendental message of the pastimes of the personality of Godhead. Isn't this what Maharaj Parikshit wanted? This suggestion was welcomed by the Lord. This suggestion was made following the footsteps of the Brahmaji, who said that the personality of Godhead is known as Ajita, or the one who cannot be conquered. Dr. Ajit is here. So, one Ajit means one who cannot be conquered. So, but by going through this simple and easy process, one who, what happens? The simple method is that one has to give up the arrogant attitude of declaring. Oh, sorry, so loud. Now it's louder. Have to give up the arrogant attitude. Oh, it's terrible. Arrogant attitude of declaring oneself to be God Himself. One must be meek and submissive and try to live peacefully by lending the ear to the speeches of the transcendentally self-realized soul who speak on the message of Bhagavad Dharma or the religion of glorifying the Supreme Lord. That, guess what? We are into that religion. Or the religion of glorifying the Supreme Lord and His devotees. To glorify a great man is a natural instinct for living beings. But they have not learned to glorify the Lord. No, we are so... this movie star, that singer, we are glorifying so many people. But instead, if we start glorifying the Lord and His devotees, so much more benefit, real benefit will come, not so much more. There were no benefit, only temporary, even if there is some mental sense gratification we'll get. But when we glorify Krishna or His pure devotees, it's something else. The minimum, bhakti unmukhi sukriti is developing, right? That credit that cannot be wiped out, that's what I'm talking about. The self-realized devotee is he who surrenders unto the Lord fully and who does not have attachment for material prosperity. That's the self-realized soul. So we must develop this hankering in our heart. You know, we may not be self... You know, we must develop this... You know, we must cry. Basically, cry in the heart. Tears not necessary. Krishna knows whether we are crying or not. We must know that the sincere person is always thinking, all the devotees are asking for this boon. When will I also be able to ask for this boon? Will I also be able to meet a self-realized person, more and more often, so that when he speaks, I'll be more inspired. Even us, coming into the movement, yesterday I saw Joaquin Prabhu trying to... show the ropes to Prabhu, I forget your name. Suresh Prabhu. He was showing, the Tulasi prayers. He was having difficulty singing and he was showing, okay, this is how, this is Tulasi prayers, and he was showing the meter and whatnot. So we can get inspiration by someone, this person is doing such thing and he is quite attached to Krishna. So imagine if we are associating with, if we have the association of someone who is completely detached, that means he's not even interested in what goes on in this material world. He's only interested in wanting to serve Krishna. The more we have his association, just imagine the impact that's going to have on us. No, there is a difference, wouldn't there? If we can get some inspiration, imagine what kind of inspiration we will get when someone who is completely given up or not interested at all. Imagine. So can you have an inkling? Why all these followers of Prabhupada go to hell in my job and everything and just willing to die for Prabhupada? How? The Thailand Bangkok episode we read 1 or 2 weeks ago, if we are the ones, but Prabhupada, all your towels and all that in the checked-in luggage, at all costs, and it's not a dictator, at all costs, I'm Hitler, don't you know who I am, get it at all costs, but it's at the disciples are being proactive. Prabhupada wants to take bath, that's all I know. So, by hook or by crook, I'm going to make him happy, I'm going to get his, what do you call? Gamcha towel, for and all his necessary apparatus for him taking shower. So that's your only concern. So that's the effect when you meet someone of that stature. Okay. So, but actually, Ramananda Roy's conversation with Mahaprabhu doesn't end there. That's the first point that he accepts. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, yes, that's all right. That means he's saying this is what is accepted. That means, yes, we have the license to remain where we are. But we have to, that means, Varnashram Dharma we do. This Yakkarosi, yes, we do that. That means offer whatever. At the same time, We should be also wanting to hear more and more about Krishna, lending our ears to the topics of Krishna. That is very, very important. You know, I have been so-called chanting for so long, but taste has never come. But somehow, some taste has come for hearing Krishna Katha. So that is why I speak about that. That is why this Krishna Katha is so nice. Because I have more taste in that than Naam. I have no taste in Naam. And actually, whether it's Krishna Katha or Naam, both can give you Krishna. Because basically what happens, you know, when we are listening to sadhus, our faith increases, our faith in Shastra increases. You know, we will say, oh, those who do not have faith, Krishna says in 9.3, those who do not have faith, what's going to happen to them? This life or the next life, they will... What? Who remembers? Prabhu? 9.3? Is it 9.3? 9.2. 9.3. What does it say? They will come back to this world. So those who do not have faith. But now, let's say now we do not have faith. We may not even have faith in that statement. You understand? You understand? So, this 325-25, that Prasanga Sangam, that verse, it says, by association with those who are self-realized, what will happen? Faith will develop. Sutta Shraddha. No, Shraddha means real faith. Shraddha Shabde Vishwa Kahe Sudrada Nishchaya. That means, Shraddha means what? Shraddha means Sudrada Nishchaya. Unflinching conviction in what? That Krishna Bhakti Koilo Sarva Karma Kritahaya. By doing Krishna Bhakti, all my activities are finished. So, when a person who is, I'm only quoting that verse, mind you, a person who is living that verse, imagine if you are in touch with a person who is living, not speaking, living that verse, what will happen to us? Then we will get more and more faith in his words and in the words, because he is living. He is the living Bhagavat. He is living Bhagavatam. So we will have more and more faith in what Shastra says. That's how we develop faith. Face it, you know, I do not have faith in what Shastra says, so if Shastra is going to say, don't have faith, you're going to mati. Or you know, you're not going to, you know, you're going to come back. Don't have faith, so that also don't have faith. What? This is what? And finally, Prabhupada says one other thing. He puts an asterisk. He puts an asterisk, you know. Perfection of life is attained simply by glorifying the Lord in association with a self-realized devotee of the Lord. Asterisk. What is the asterisk? The International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been formed for this purpose. So, what he wants is all of us to become very, very serious. He said, Guru Maharaj always told us, get out of here! This Krishna Consciousness is for serious students. He told us all to get out of here, because we are not serious. So, Prabhupada is trying to tell the serious people, yes, you practice seriously, be sincere, and you will become a pure devotee. But, the tendency is, I will take it easy. You know, from the invocation, to the singing, to the whole thing. Sarira, Vibhijaya, go through the whole thing, but yeah, then we start eating. You know, but what did we say? Oh, something about, you know, Krishna Prasadam is good for us, lah. You know, but if we are conscious of what we are actually saying, oh, so much more benefit, so much more relishment will be there. Okay. There is this thing about. I'll stop here, Prabhu. It's already late. So, Prabhu, I'll stop here. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak. I hope I've spoken something that I've heard and I've spoken for the pleasure of Sri Guru and Guranga, Prabhupada, and the Lordship. Vanchakalpa taru dascha, kupas mide vache, patitanam pavnudi vache. We close? One question, okay. Okay, I'm sorry, Prabhu.
No,
I lost. Yes,
Prabhupada said in the first canto, it's explained about creation. But I don't understand why the creation.
Okay, oh Prabhu, sorry. No, you say the question, I'm going to say something.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. In the purport, Prabhupada said that first canto is explained about creation. Can I understand how creation is explained in first canto?
Oh, Prabhu, he's...
You know, Srila Prabhupada gives a summary of what first canto creation. Does he talk about? Oh, about the... This was mentioned... Some of this was mentioned yesterday by Pandava Saka Prabhu, how the Lord, you know, takes on Purusha Avatar. So this, I cannot remember all these things, Prabhu, but this, my understanding is this is the part of creation. But then why should I speculate? Does anyone know? Anyone? Prabhu? Anyone? Anyone? Your question is, Prabhu wants to know where in the first canto is this topic of creation mentioned. You know, when Prabhupada boldly says, first canto, creation. So is there anyone?
I'll just speculate. Prabhu, I can't, I don't know.
Actually the actual physical act of the creative process starts a bit later in second canto and more in third canto. But from what I've heard, the principles of why first canto is considered as creation is because it actually doesn't refer to the creation of this universe, but it actually refers to the creation of our devotional service. And that is the basis that's the platform, as you have been stressing so much in this verse actually, Prabhuji, that the actual principle will be from the heart. So that's why the first two verses in the first chapter, they establish the first principle of creation, and that's Krishna. That is our creative process. And then the second point, a very important point of creation, is to reject everything else except Bhagavatam and Krishna. So that's why that foundation is considered as the creation of our devotional service. That's what I said. Thank you.